This is Talking Business.
I'm joined now by Michael Beresford, who's the Director of Investment Services at Open Corp. G'day, Michael.
How are you, Owen?
Tell us what Open Corp does or what it is.
So we're basically property specialists. So we've got a few divisions. Two key ones are a funds management business where we source development opportunities, raise capital and professionally manage those.
These are residential...
Residential development projects, yeah. They can be townhouse developments, apartments or land subdivisions. And on the side of the business that I'm mainly focused in, that's our property investment arm. So effectively an property advisory service. We educate our clients up front so they understand why we invest the way we do, and then we manage the whole process for them and portfolio manage them ongoing. So we're helping them over the long term to acquire the portfolio they need for...
Do you charge for education or do you...
We don't charge for education. There's about 300 videos and a range of books that are all free.
And so, but you charge for managing their properties. So
we
you're,
do.
You're a property manager.
Yeah, so we're basically a project manager and property management and portfolio management. So it's end-to-end relationship-based guidance that we're giving our clients.
Yeah, right. So there's a bit of an interesting story about how it started. Tell us about the... Tell us about that.
Yeah, like every good business, I guess, there's a story behind it. So there are four of us actively involved in the business as directors. I played footy with two of the guys about 20 years ago. We reconnected by chance at a property fundraising function in Brisbane, and 10 years later, here's Open Corp. So we'd all had the same experience individually where those close to us were getting curious about what we were doing with our own investment portfolios. So we thought, well... We'll start by helping family and friends, and it's grown from there to just take clients on the journey that you know we're applying ourselves.
Obviously, the obvious question is that you know you've ridden a wave of of enthusiasm for property investing in Australia. The prices have gone up. Everyone's done well. That seems to be over now. Do you think it is over?
Not at all. So I guess the Australian property market has a history of going through cycles. Not all of the markets cycle at the same time. And there's not one property market in Australia the way that we see it. So there's even multiple markets within the Melbourne market, for example. So we always feel that there are opportunities. What you do need to do is be understanding that you need to look more widely than the suburb or the capital city that you live in. But while Sydney's had tremendous growth over the last 5 years and Melbourne the same over the last 3 years or so, there are definitely still opportunities nationally that we feel that you can get some exposure to some really good growth assets.
Such as where?
Brisbane is a major focus area for us. So it's amazing how, I guess, when you look historically and you see how the cycles work, that history just repeats itself. So, they're all the indicators that we see line up that Brisbane's positioned in a very similar way to what it was about 15 years ago, slightly over when it went through significant growth between 2001 and 2004. So that's the main focus area.
What happened then to Brisbane?
Oh, so basically there was a significant gap between the Sydney median house price and the Brisbane median house price. That gap today is the largest it's ever been. And the biggest since 2001.
So are you saying that gap tends to close?
It does, and it closes very quickly. It closes, when you look at the graphs, it closes more quickly than what that gap is established.
It could close by Sydney prices coming down.
It could, but when you look at, history of Australian markets, the median house price in any of the capital cities is never lower than what it was 5 years before. So any cycle goes through a growth phase like Sydney has. There will be a minor correction. It will stabilise.
How do you know it'll be minor though?
Because what are the fundamentals that drive growth in anything? It's supply and demand. We've got a commitment to skilled migration. The number of Australians aged 65 and over is going to increase by over 40% in the next 4 years. That means that the government's got a pension problem. They've got to pay for it somehow. So they have a commitment to skilled migration and tax revenue to be able to pay that pension. So with those people coming to Australia... and the job creation that we have, we had record job creation last year, that's a pretty good recipe for stable supply and demand the way we see it.
So do you think fundamentally property investing is an immigration story?
It's a population growth story, no doubt, coupled with supply. So the reason we stick to capital cities as an investment is because it's where the most amount of people go and the least amount of land is. And that's been a pretty robust story historically, not just for us, but Australia-wide. So that's what we focus at a very high level on,
What about Hobart? That seems to be moving. Do you watch that as well?
We don't look at Hobart. Mum and Dad are from Hobart, so I love going down to Hobart. Hobart tends to shoot the lights out for a short period every 15 years and then does not much. So if you're after consistent growth and being able to see that growth in a property, create some equity and then repeat the process by investing somewhere else, Hobart can be very stop and start, and we see other opportunities as being more appealing.
I suppose it does seem like a different cycle this time, in the sense that household debt is very high now in Australia, like it's record high. It's not been this high before. And at the same time, the banks are crunching down on investment, property investment and lending. So it does feel like, to a lot of people, as if the cycle's going to be deeper and nastier this time than it has been in the past.
Yeah, it's a really good point, and it's I guess something consistently that is in there in the media that we talk about. I think it's important to keep these things in perspective, though, and investing is definitely a long-term process. So, if we think back to September 11, that was supposed to floor the world for 10 years. The Brisbane median house price more than doubled in the 4 years after that. So that's just one example of how taking an eclectic and long-term approach is really important to investing. There's no doubt that the tightening of the lending market will be a temporary challenge for some people. What we're finding is that savvy investors are looking at more affordable property because their borrowing capacity allows them to do that. Less focus on blue chip, coupled with obviously the government's comments around negative gearing. May be repealed depending on who's in government for existing established property versus new property. So all of those things are changing the dynamics to some extent. But the underlying impact of that supply and demand equation is still pretty strong, and taking a long-term view reduces your risk around the impact of these short-term type changes.
A lot of people are worried about the number of people who have to move from interest-only loans to paying principal and interest. Are many of your clients in that boat?
No, so I guess knowing that this was coming, we kind of got ahead of the curve and were able to get them rolled over onto interest only. I'm really big on buffers, and I'm really big on not stretching yourself. And investment property is only going to work for you if it's ticking along in the background. It's not designed to be putting a major impact on your lifestyle and using a lot of money out of your pocket. So that generally means, if those rules are stuck to, that generally means that you've got sufficient buffer there to be able to refinance. But the other thing to remember is that interest rates going up is a general statement as well. And even on principal and interest loans, there are significant differences in the rates offered compared to interest-only loans. So there are some very low principal and interest rates. When it's all said and done, the actual holding cost on a weekly basis is not that great.
What are the key things you tell your clients in the sort of education part of what you do?
So the number one thing is to eliminate white noise. A lot of people in Australia have their own home that they live in. We've been brought up with the view that reducing debt is a good thing, and I guess stashing the rest under the mattress is the way it's been done in previous generations. Lifestyle is changing. We're living longer. We need a different way to do it. So we're really big on eliminating that white noise, understanding
what do you mean by white noise.
Constant talk in the media about booms and busts, and understanding that headlines are there to generate emotion, right? So the Australian property market, or the Sydney property market, or the Melbourne market, doesn't change fundamentally on a week-to-week basis, but the headlines do. So it's really, I guess, about understanding what it is that you want to achieve, how you're going to get there, stick to that plan, stay the long term, and make sure that you've got cash flow protections in place to be able to ride these waves as rate cycle or rent cycle, whatever it might be.
And do you have any kind of guidance on how much you should borrow, where you should look? You talked before about not buying in your suburb. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what people feel comfortable with, because they understand and know that. Are you saying that that's not a valid thing to do?
What I'm saying is that you can generally get better investments elsewhere. So the big mistake investors can make is buying based on emotion. Just because you drive past a property every day doesn't mean it goes up in value any quicker. So by understanding a proven process that works in terms of criteria for property selection, we find that to be a better recipe than buying somewhere that you know just because it makes you feel comfortable.
And how do you organise the buffers? What sort of buffer do you recommend?
Yeah, so there are two types of buffers. So the first is never buying a property at the very top of your borrowing capacity, so you've got no flexibility there. And the second one is just making sure you've got a cash flow buffer in place. So whether that be some cash savings on the side or whether it be a little bit extra that you borrow from equity just as a rainy day fund, it just covers off the what-if scenarios where, you know, you're not forced to dip into your pocket if there are some unforeseen circumstances over the journey.
Sounds like common sense.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, no point scratching and scraping. That doesn't work for anyone.
Well, thanks very much, Michael. It's been good talking to you.
Likewise, Alan.
I've been talking to Michael Beresford, who is the Director of Investment Services at Open Corp.